Broadcasting around the world on International Shortwave and on the Radio Disclosure Radio Network. I bid you good evening, good morning, wherever you may be in our universe. Tonight's topic is quite topical, actually. Considering the news and all the feeds on Facebook, describing UFOs, the Pentagon, all this. Yeah, it keeps getting more and more interesting, in my opinion, with all this. Ryan Fosco is our guest tonight. He's been doing UFO research since he was 16 years old. And I've already got my first question that I've got ready and posed for him. Welcome to the show, Ryan. And what got you into UFO research when you were 16?
Well, actually, incident happened when I was 8 years old, actually, that led me into the topic. It was we had just moved to Pittsburgh. I'm originally from New York, and it was around Christmas time. We were coming up a hill in the surrounding areas of Pittsburgh there, and all of a sudden, it was me, my dad, my brother in the car. All of a sudden, this green light comes out of nowhere. It went over our vehicle and started dropping material onto our car. And
now, hold on. What kind of material are we talking about here?
That's what I mean. We had no idea, because at the time you could only hear it hitting off the top of the vehicle and in the hood. It was making sounds like that. It was going back and forth. And so my dad pulled over to see if there was any damage. And as we got out, you know, I got out too to look, and there was nothing on the vehicle, and there was no damage to it or anything, but we all heard it. And the green light itself, it didn't go out. It wasn't a shooting star. It took off back into the sky. And
now I got to back up on this. You say material hit the vehicle. Are you talking about like a solid liquid or some kind of energy?
It was definitely. It sounded like it was a hard material from the sounds of it. And there was a little bit. I believe that, if my memory serves me correct here, there was a little bit left on the vehicle. Now you couldn't see what it was. It was just a dark color, and it was slow. It dissipated. I remember it disappearing. And I remember my dad just told us to get back in the car, because at first I didn't see anything. You know, right when we were getting back in the car, that's when I noticed there was a little bit left on the vehicle. And it had to have been from the object, because, I mean, it wasn't snowing, it wasn't raining. I mean, you know, so it had to have been that, because then it disappeared, and that was that. And so after that happened.
This is the first I've heard of this. And maybe you have heard more of this kind of phenomenon of something that hits a vehicle or some kind of object.
Yep.
And it disappears after it hits, but it sounds more dramatic than. See, I've heard these stories of some kind of energy pulse that hits and leaves like a dust residue. And then that dust residue just kind of blows away real quick. And it's
exactly,
it's some kind of energy pulse or something. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's interesting. Is to me, that would scare me. Like, what did that do to my body?
Exactly. You know, that's as I got older into my 20s, I thought back to that incident. And I thought the same thing. I said, I wonder if that did anything to the vehicle. You know what I mean? I wonder if that did anything to us inside of it. And at the time, you know, you don't notice that, you know, because I was only 8 years old at the time. So, and I remember my father was just like, he just didn't want to talk about it. but, you know, he'd answer questions here and there. But me and my brother, you know, we know what we saw. So, but I know the type of stories you're talking about. You're exactly right. It's usually an energy. It's invisible, you know, for the most part, it's invisible when it hits the vehicle or at least, you know, or it's invisible after the fact. So, yeah, it's just it's a pretty wild scenario, to be honest with you. I felt lucky to be a part of it, because it brought me into this world of, ufology. So,
So you experienced this when you were 8, but you made a conscious decision when you say 16 that you became a UFO researcher.
Yes.
What does that look like?
So there was one more incident after that. So when I was 13, me and my dad we were at a cookout, and we were up on top of this hill at my aunt's house, and all of a sudden my dad goes, "Hey, you see that up there?" And I looked up. Sure enough, there was this object just sitting steady in the sky, not moving. It was, the sun was shining right off of it, and it was just sitting there. And it probably sat there for about 10, 15 minutes, and it, all of a sudden it just disappeared. And so from then on, from 13 to 16, I made sure to read what I could about UFOs, anything like that. I would try to rent videos, anything I could. I would try to look for, you know, I guess local cases. But when I was 16, I actually made my move into going out, asking people if they've seen anything. You know, I went to police stations to get police reports, which they didn't like too much. But, you know, you got to do the work. So, but yeah, at 16, I just was basically a local UFO researcher until about a couple years ago is where I made my, I guess, more wider researcher. As I joined Lon Strickler and his crew for the Western Pennsylvania UFO researcher.
So, and he's got a website, and you're a part of that. What's that website?
Yeah, it's phantomsandmonsters.com.
There's a couple good interesting stories on there. There's one that I'm trying to hit him up on, which is about the incident that happened here recently in Tennessee. Now, we're based out of Tennessee. We're in the hills of Tennessee, and there are weird things that happen up here, folks. I'm just going to plumb out tell you. Yeah. One of our main affiliates, WTWW, we have many Bigfoot sightings out there, and it's beautiful out there at night. So, so let me ask this question. What was it like, and I'm interested in this, as a 16-year-old walking into a police station, and I think I heard this right, and you're asking for police reports on UFO incidents, and you said that was difficult. What was their reaction?
Well, first, it was hard to get to down to the report, the reports. When I first walked in, I walked into the one around here several times. At first, the lady at the front desk, this wasn't even part of the police station. It was behind it. I couldn't even get her to take me seriously. So I walked in there a couple of times. Finally, she gave me the number to inside to call. And they had one at the time. It was an elderly person called in to say there was a flying object that ended up being Christmas ornaments. So that was the only one I got. But then around the surrounding area was even more tougher. I mean, the same thing. I would be met at the door with, "No, we don't have any of that." Or, "Are you serious?" And I'd be like, "Yes, I'm totally serious." And they'd be like, and they'd just tell me to, I remember one, probably about 15 miles from here, they told me to just turn around. That's it. That's all he said. Turn around. So, but yeah, it was tough. It was hard starting out. It really was, especially to gather information. I wanted to see, you know, what it was like around here. You know, the area I live. I live in Plum. I live in the outskirts of Pennsylvania, or outskirts of Pittsburgh. And, you know, as I got older, I was able to get my hands on other, you know, incidents. And, you know, finally, right in my own backyard. I mean, I use a laser and a flashlight. I usually shine at the sky, and I hit the jackpot one night. I got stuff to come right down to the yard, and
oh, dear.
That was it for me. Yeah.
So, Ryan, when we come back from this break, I want to hear more about lasers and flashlights and objects coming into the yard. 1-833-880-9899 is the number if you want to join us. 1-833-880-9899. Ryan Fosco is our guest. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure, 1-833-880-9899. 1-833-880-9899. Ryan Fosco's our guest. And right before the break, he said he was shining lasers in the sky along with flashlights. And something happened. Welcome back to the show, Ryan. What happened? You say something happened, and I'm sitting on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, so first of all, I just want to say don't ever shine. Obviously, we don't want to shine lasers at airplanes, stuff like that. Anyways, I'm very cautious when I do it. So I finally got an answer the one night. It was a very bright light that was blinking back at me. Matter of fact, it was over the telephone pole. It's probably about 20 yards from my house. It looked like there was a car in the sky, and it had its headlights flashing. You know, like an old 1930s vehicle where they turn the headlights off and they slowly dim out?
Oh, yeah.
That's what this did with both lights. And I almost had a heart attack. I ran inside. And I went back outside, and it was gone. But then I flashed again, and sure enough, it was back, but it was way further back this time. And long story short, I did this for a year straight and got just wild answers. I mean, the outcome of this was insane. I mean, you can even ask my wife. She was there for a lot of these things, a lot of orange orbs that come close to the house. I'm talking the one night one made a beeline straight for us. And they probably got about 20 feet away and then went right back up into the sky. So, yeah, if you put the work in and try, I guarantee you'll get an answer for sure.
So I will tell you that our own Ted Randall does this quite a bit, flashes lights in the sky. And we did it when we were younger. We would use what we called redneck lights, like a million candle power redneck light.
Yep. Yeah.
And this was before anything else, very few satellites. And when people say, oh, you see satellites up there that are moving,
Yeah, exactly. You
can see some for a very brief moment. The space station is quite large. You can barely see it. It's much larger than the satellites that are up there. And these objects are brighter than the space station when you're tracking the space station. These objects move differently than the space station does. These objects, and I'm telling you, if they're the same objects that I'm seeing, you sometimes will see them flying in formation. You will see them with white light. You will see them with orange light. You will see them. So what that means is, and I'm going to back this up for a second, you have tungsten lighting and you have daylight lighting. Tungsten lighting is, good old standard yellow bulbs. Yeller. Yep. I'll say it like I am here in Tennessee in the hills. And then you have daylight, which is daylight color temperature, which a lot of people will call it the more blue light. It's more natural light.
Yeah.
So these things emit all different spectrums of these different sets of lights. And I will tell you, sometimes they get bright enough to where they do scare you.
Yeah, 100%. You're exactly right. Especially with the color schemes. I mean, there was one across the yard the other night. It was red. Matter of fact, two nights ago, I had an orange one. It was literally sitting on my lawnmower outside. And when I went outside, because I'm not really nervous about it anymore because of the incident, which I will be telling you about here in a minute, that I did in Oklahoma. That really, that was my introduction into the UFO field. I mean, if we're going to call it that, it was pretty wild. But, I went outside and it two blue lights flashed next to it and that was it. Gone. They weren't. And I'm sure you get the same thing. People say, oh, they're probably, lightning bugs. And lightning bugs aren't that big and lightning bugs don't go, so high in the sky.
Right. So what happened in Oklahoma?
Okay. So this happened last year. This happened in November. All right. So, that's when I went down there. So what happened was here is Lon Strickler. He was getting a couple messages from a guy named Steve. I'm allowed to say his name. He sent it off to me because I was looking for some good UFO cases. And so he sent it to me. I gave the guy a call, and right off the bat, this guy was frantic. Basically, what happened is he was out doing his laundry. He was at nighttime, and he saw this yellow light, and it came closer. And what he decided to do was take his .22 out and fire at it. And that was not the smartest thing to do, because after that, these things did not go away. As a matter of fact, as I'm standing here, they are still with him. And so what happened was, is he would start sending me photos. And these photos, he's like, here, look at this thing following me, this here. And then finally I said, listen, you got to get on Messenger, and then we'll do a live video because I want to see this. And sure enough, on video, there was an orb following him right behind him. He wasn't lying. I was like, oh my goodness. And it was huge. I said, you know, how big is that? And he said, there's a face inside of it. I said, what? What kind of face? What? And he couldn't really describe it. This guy knew nothing about the UFO field. I had to explain to him what a portal was. At one point, when the entities came, I remember this is a great night. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. He called me. He lives in Oklahoma. I live in Pittsburgh. There's a couple hour change there. He was frantic. He's like, hey, this thing just got out of this craft. He said it was jumping. He jumped over his fence. Now I can tell you, when I was down there, his fence is probably almost 5 foot. And he said this thing jumped over its fence with 2 feet. He said it looked like a dog. It looked like a dog. And I have photos of this. I can send you photos if you want to put them up anywhere, if you can. I do have a photo of one of these things.
Yeah, go ahead and send it to me through Facebook, and I'll put it up on radiodisclosure.com. We've got to do that. So, but hold on. Okay. Before you go any further, these things look like a dog. I want to recap this for a second. This guy sees something. He gets out his rifle. He shoots at it. And now he's being tormented. Did I just summarize this?
Pretty much.
Okay, keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh no, you're good to go. It's expected, believe me. So these entities, I say, look like dogs because when I got down there, it was the ball was rolling. So after he sent me this photo, it was an entity looking through his window. I said, oh my gosh, and you can see it plain as day. It's not a human. It's standing up. The photo I'm going to say, you can see for yourself. It's brown. And this is the thing, too. This is another thing I realized. All of them, the ones I saw down there, except for this, anyways, they had these brown outfits on. They all had these brown outfits on. All of them did. They were able to basically use the, they had some switch. I don't know. I guess they call it a switch. They were able to switch them on and look different in a camera, but excuse me, in the pictures I got, you can tell that there's something there. And I also got a picture of them with them on, with their, just their outfits on. So this is what happened. So finally I said, hey, I'm coming down to your house. So I drove from Pittsburgh to Oklahoma in November. When I got down there, the first night wasn't too active. His dog was barking, and I didn't really think anything of it. We did see 3 red lights. They were triangle. They were definitely UFOs because they came right down to the ground, and they were about 2 football fields away. I couldn't believe what I was saying. I was like, this is insane. They're landing. They definitely landed. And this is now, the next day, now you can see this photo as well. I got a picture of the Glimmer Man. I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
It's basically the Predator. That's you can see it plain as day. I'll send you the photo. He was sitting in a tree, staring at me. This is in the middle of the daytime. Like I said, I have a GIF of it. At the time, I was just taking photos, and after I took my photos, I didn't have anything, and I felt like I was being stared at. So I turned around. And there this thing was, and my heart was going 1,000 miles an hour. I was like, oh my God, that looks like a human, like, you know, a human shape. Sure enough, I said to myself, you know what? I was thinking to myself, I don't know if I'm ever going to get back down here. I started walking towards it. I took a step forward. As soon as I did, it immediately disappeared completely. And that's when I ran into the house like Scooby-Doo. Like, I was gone. I did not, I don't, I don't know if he followed me. I have no idea. Like I said, this encounter is crazy. You can read up on it also at phantomsandmonsters.com. You can read the whole encounter. Just type in the Oklahoma dogman incident. You'll find it on there. But, all right, so the next night, or that night, I'm sorry, we were out. It was getting to be dark. We were outside, and all of a sudden, I see this blue light in the yard. And all of a sudden, it disappeared. It was like a ball, a blue light, a dark blue light. I said, "Steve, did you see that?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, go get your flashlight." He goes, he runs in, he gets his big mag light. He runs out, he goes, "Bro, there's a red light across the street." He goes, "Something landed over there." I go, "Seriously?" So I turn over, I turn the flashlight over, and there it was for the first time in my life. There were, whatever you want to call them, aliens, entities, extraterrestrials. They were standing at a barbed wire fence. They were all moving like a wave back and forth. They had brown outfits on and green, bright goggles. And they were all moving back and forth. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I mean, I'm a military veteran. I have a pretty good rapport with other people. Like, I'm not known to lie. This is the honest truth of what I'm telling you. Couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was laughing. I just couldn't believe it. And so I went to go take a photo, and I will send you that as well. What they say is true. When you try to take a photo of these things, they make it. They know you're taking a photo, you know, so they're not dumb. So, but this is the thing, is when I had the flashlight on them, they seemed to not care. They were just all like, it looked like they were giddy, like they were really happy to be where they were. They were all, it was insane. I was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe we're seeing this." So right off the bat, his dog took right off for him. And all of a sudden they disappeared. And I had the flashlight. I was like, "Where'd they go?" And all of a sudden, this out of nowhere, this one turned and faced the dog. And as soon as I saw it move, I said, I called his dog right back. And that's the thing. I don't even know this dog. I called its name and it ran right back to me immediately. But it was an entity that had an elongated head. He had his hands on its knees. And he moved right over and pointed at the dog. I was like, "Oh," it scared me. I was like, "Oh, good Lord."
So, Ryan, we're going to come back from the break and we're going to continue this. This is Green Goggles out in the middle of a field. 1-833-880-9899. Ryan Fosco is our guest. Wow. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. Ryan Fosco is our guest. And right before the break, he just described the aliens did land. And they're wearing green goggles, and he's sending us pictures. They're on radiodisclosure.com. Go there now. And you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. This is... So you're at the point of the story where the dog is running back to you. You just called the name of the dog, and he's running back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, his dog's name was Cole. And, it, you know, I don't know this dog, but it took to me immediately like it was my dog. It was weird. But, you know, and that's another thing. It also falls in line with other... UFO, you know, accounts, which is odd. You know, animals taken to people that they don't know. But anyways, so the dog came running back. The entities with the goggles on their heads, we didn't see them again that night. But this is the thing, is you could hear them running through these. There was hay bales on the side of his house. You could hear them jumping over them. You can hear them. You can hear giggling. It was crazy. But then there was this metal corn, what do they call it, silo, a very small silo. Now, I have a picture of that I can say as well. I believe that they were going into this and going underground at some point. And I also know that they obviously could go invisible. I mean, their deception game is on point. It's wild. And I'll explain to you what I mean is the third day I was there, I had car troubles. I couldn't leave. I barely slept that night anyways, after seeing what I saw.
I'd imagine so.
And yeah, it was pretty wild to take, and I couldn't stop talking about it. Matter of fact, I don't think a day goes by where I don't think about it. But So he had told me some other things before I went down, like, hey, there, you know, you can see these things out in the field in the daytime. Sure enough, my phone kept dying. This is the, you know, the parts, you know. My phone kept dying, you know, 60% charge, all of a sudden it's dead. I'm like, of course. But I did have a video at one time. And the next day I went across, I wanted to go over there. So I walked over there. The closer I got, the more something came to, like an image started showing up. And this is the closer I got to it. I was like, what am I seeing right now? Because I'm not used to this technology.
Now, is this an image in your head or physically?
That's what I mean. Like, to this day, you know, because I was the only one home at that point. They live in the outskirts of Oklahoma. The next neighbor was a half mile away. So, you know, these entities picked a great area for sure. But so let's fast forward to that night. Some stuff happened during the day. Matter of fact, I'll send you a picture. I have a picture of a tree floating in the air. it's not touching the ground. It's just sitting in the air.
I mean, it sounds like to me that they're using some kind of interphasic technology where they can move through matter.
You're right. I totally agree with you. And like I said, the deception was insane. Like, I have photos from him, no joke, of a square UFO, a rectangle, sitting in a tree, pretending to be the top of the tree. When you can clearly see that it's a rectangle. it's wild. I'm telling you, I'll send you these photos. It's crazy. So the third night, this is where it gets crazy here, if it wasn't already crazy. But like I said, I stand by my word, every word. So that night, Steve comes in and says, hey, there's something in the driveway. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, there's a mosquito man in the driveway. I said, what? And so I have a photo of this, but it's hard. I have to point it out to you because it's one of those photos, you know, and I took the photo and that's what I came back with. You know, believe me, I tried to take the best photos I could. It was very hard to take good photos, especially when what they were doing. Anyways, like I said, you can read all about this. A light appeared in the driveway. Mind you, my rent vehicle's in there, his two work trucks. All of a sudden, I notice my lights are on. I'm like, what is going on? His work lights are on. I was like, what is happening right now? Sure enough, there's entities out there. Now, I kid you not, there was a woman. She had glowing yellow orange skin with black polka dots. She had hair. She had sunglasses on. Her dress was green colored. The other guy next to her had a red jacket, jeans. He had stocks coming out of his head. They all had faces just like ours, like humans do. Okay, now, this is not, I'm not BSing you. This is what's happening. So I run down to the garage in the basement. I look out the window. They wave to us, and they smiled. I said, this is crazy. there's other entities in the driveway. This is insane. So I run outside. And as soon as I ran outside, they didn't say a word to me. They wouldn't say a word. They wouldn't say hello. They wouldn't say anything. They wouldn't wave to me. Nothing. And this is also at the time I noticed there was a ton of others outside. And they all had that brown outfit on. And they were all standing in the back by the fence. And they all looked like they could be looking like corn stalks. But these weren't corn stalks. These were actual entities. And so I took a photo. And in the photo, in the daytime, you can see this tree has nothing around it, no vegetation. At nighttime, you can see that there are tall, huge stalks of grass standing all around it. So that's what they did in the photo. Now, I tried to take a video. When I took a video, the guy that had stalks on his head in a red jacket, he turned into a, no joke, a white fence post. Okay, now you can see in my video, you can see it slowly turn back into a face as I'm moving the camera.
Wow.
So that's what I mean. The deception they have, the technology they were using was way beyond ours.
Now, is there normally a white fence post there?
Absolutely not.
No. So and I'm thinking
it melted.
So there for a second in the back of my mind, and I'm sure somebody else out there in the listening audience went, no, there's just a fence post there. And of course, that's why I had to ask the question. It wow.
Yeah, it's and then so this is the what I got. They were now when I went back inside, they resumed what they were doing. They were basically touring our vehicles. They were getting into the vehicles. Mind you, mine was locked. And they just opened up the door. The doors opened right up. They were in the vehicle. I have a photo. There is an occupant in this vehicle. It's not a human face. That is for sure. You can tell this right off the bat when you look at it. It's not a human. Whatever this is, it's a different entity all in itself. And there were children. There were parents. I'm telling you right now, it was like a tour they were doing. It was, and that's the God's honest truth of what they were doing. So it was insane. It lasted from 11 o'clock until 6 in the morning.
So, Ryan, something I want you to sit back and think about for a second. You start talking about elongated skulls. You start talking about human dog aliens in other features that look animal-like on these things.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like the hieroglyphs you see in ancient Egypt, to where you start to wonder,
right?
Is this the people that helped build the pyramids? Well, are they people? No. Human beings. Let me just rephrase that. You know, the Bible talks about the watchers, and it talks about the, and you know, in the book of, and right in the beginning of the Bible, it starts off, the sons of God saw the daughters of men and begat children, and there's no translation for it. So all I'm saying is all throughout ancient culture, you had, you know, the Egyptians doing this. You had this in South America. You had it in North America. This really sounds a whole lot like some of the Native American spirits and the different things you hear. And I mean,
and you're right. And I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to tell you this too, is the second night and the third night to me have nothing to do with each other. I believe that the third night, this is a spot that they've picked because of what happened with the gun. I believe that that's why they were coming down here and doing this. I believe that those were other entities from other planets in the galaxy. Like that to me, 100%, that you can't sway me on that. That is what happened the third night. There were other entities coming to tour us. Hey, look at these primitive people. They still drive vehicles with gas, you know, because they were taking off in UFOs so fast. It was insane. I tried to get a picture of this lady. There was 10-minute intervals every time. This lady would sit in her UFO and whatever she did. It looked like she was texting, but I have no idea what she was doing, you know? But that's what it looked like. But anyways, the two nights are different from each other because the second night, like you said, those entities looked like, that's what they looked like. And I have a photo of them sitting there. It'll blow your mind. It was crazy. I mean,
Ryan,
be a part of that.
What's the website where they can read the full Oklahoma story from cover to cover?
It's phantomsandmonsters.com. And if they go into the search, they can just type in, it happened in Chemancy County, Oklahoma. They can type in Oklahoma dogmen.
Gotcha.
And I'll give you a link also. I'll send you a link.
All right. So we're going to put that on the website and get up to radiodisclosure.com. Get up there, grab it. We're going to put all those photos. You sent me a couple already. We're going to continue to post them up there. I'm telling you, I'm looking at this website. There's a whole lot of stuff. There's a wonderful story that we're going to try to get somebody to go through with us, is the Tennessee story that's up there. I'm going to just tease it at that. If you've got something to disclose to Radio Disclosure, 1-833-880-9899 is the number. Like to say thank you to WTWW, the International Shortwave, for carrying us, and all of our other local affiliates. This has been Radio Disclosure. Thank you.